And it is the first Friday, right? Of the month.
I don't really know what day it is for the most part lately. We just finished up harvesting hops every day. But it's
time for the plant rant.
It is.
Sandra the Plant Lady, made possible by Baker Orchards at Centuria.
Yes, and speaking of Baker Orchards, so they opened this weekend a little later than normal, which is usually Labor Day weekend. So they are opening tomorrow and Saturday. See, I don't know what day it is. Friday. Tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday. They are open Saturdays and Sundays starting this weekend. And their big fall art festival, the Baker Orchard Art Festival, which is such a great event, is September 28th and 29th this year. So that's my community calendar for this month, is reminding people to come on out and see us. I'm always the greeter and information giver, which is fun. It used to be more of a parking job, but the Baker has the farm across the street now for parking too, so that really helps a lot. Well, we know we always run out of time. So my guest this morning is Andrea Seifert, and she has Curly Acres, which is a Shetland sheep farm. And as I announced last month, new to me, they're using like wool as compost now and fertilizer and all kinds of interesting things. So good morning, Andrea. Thank you for joining us on Plant Rant this morning.
Well, thank you for having me. It's fun to come in and talk about some of my favorite things with someone I know and like.
Yes.
Besides.
Yes. Andrea used to do lots of stuff, very heavily involved with WIC. And actually, I met her many years ago when Anthony was still a baby. And my baby just turned 13 the end of August. I know. So it's been a minute.
It has. And it has for me, too, considering that now I've been retired for just about 5 years coming up on that. And with that retirement, I really made a change into my little sheep farm. And I've just been having a ton of fun with that for the past few years.
So you are, and your use of the sheep or enjoyment of the sheep, it's pretty diversified. So what are some of the... Because your sheep aren't just, oh, look at, we have these cute little animals running around. Like, they really have a function.
They do. And sheep are, I think, just one of the best little animals out there, or farm animals, because they have so many variety of functions. We know there's sheep for meat, there's dairy sheep for sheep cheese, but my sheep that I really focus on is the wool aspect. They're Shetland sheep, and that's a breed that produces really fine wool. It's really excellent for knitting with and for wearing. Other sheep don't produce quite as good a wool, and that's where they're finding so many ways on using wool. And while we sort of have touched on the compost idea, as well as in household goods, for construction, like they're putting it into concrete, which I find super fascinating because it can bind so well. Now, that's like on the newer edge. If you go to your local hardware and buy concrete, it's probably not going to have wool in it, but,
yet,
but just
not
give it.
Yet,
just
not
give
yet.
It. Yeah. And they're using it as insulation in houses. So wool is coming along and in just being a factor for being super environmentally sound. So,
which we need, and it's a renewable source, right? Because so you shear them, and it comes, their wool,
and back it comes,
grows back, right?
Yeah.
So it's a constant source of interesting.
And shearing is really healthy for the sheep too. They just can't grow and grow and grow their wool, and so they do have a few moments of not being too happy of being set down on their butt. If you've ever seen a shear go doing the shearing process, you know, they kind of just sit there, but they're not unhappy. And shears go so fast.
And do you shear your own sheep?
Oh, no.
Okay. So you have someone shear. Do they come to the farm and shear
them?
They
do. They do come to the farm and zip, 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 the sheep are done. I've tried to shear my own, and it just looks like a poodle gone wrong. So I now
and
leave
then they're
that
walking
to the
around embarrassed, right?
Like, yeah, and me too. And also, since I really want to use the wool, I want the shearing done well.
Yeah, because you spin...
I don't do that. I send all my wool out to the, well, mainly out to the mills to have it spun up into yarn. And then that's where I take over as far as the crafty part, as either with knitting or weaving are kind of the two aspects I do. But it is a great wool to share with, or to spin with, I mean, and as well as many other types of wool too, so.
Yeah, does the Lamar still do that textile
no,
fair? Like,
yeah.
That was so much fun. And Anthony is actually the one, he was so intrigued with spinning, and he'd seen a demo before, and he's the one who actually was the reason we used to go, because he wanted to do that, and then we'd visit the local farm that has the alpaca and watch their big operation. Like, they're processing right on the farm. And it's so interesting. And the lady with the Angora rabbits who spins right off the rabbit in her lap.
Yeah.
Like, it was really a good event. It's too bad that is still going on.
It is too bad. That was a really fun event for just sort of the local farmers, too. We were just all a little bit more small time doing, doing our wool and fiber products, and so it really helped on our own promotion too. But now there's a lot of other festivals, small ones too,
because the demos were fun, and you always had to buy stuff because everybody has cool stuff for sale. And
well, Cambridge is the site that has sort of taken up the Lamar festival in a sense. They're larger and have more stuff going on, so that's good too. And that's not too far down the road.
No,
that's in October. So.
Oh, interesting. So is that coming up?
Yep. That'll be, if October 19th is a Saturday, that's when it is.
I think that you're right about that. And what would, if people want information, what's the name of that festival? Do you know?
Minnesota Fiber Festival.
Minnesota Fiber Festival. And I will try to remind people of that on October's Plant Ramp.
Yeah, and a couple of us local gals will be there. You mentioned Karen Schnell, who does the spinning right off her Angora rabbits. And so she'll be there and probably doing something like that, too.
The 19th is a Saturday, so that is accurate.
So I was right.
Yeah,
okay.
You got it.
So we sort of touched on composting and how wool can be a good compostable material.
Yeah, so explain that to me, though, because we didn't really talk about the process or how it
like. Yeah, like, okay. What does this even mean?
Yes.
Well, this was new to me, too, and now it's becoming not such a new thing, that wool just biodegrades naturally. And so if you put it in the ground, give it some time, just like any other compost material, it'll compost faster if you turn it and slower if you just let it be there. And it turns itself back into basically nitrogen. It mainly is a source of nitrogen for the soil. So
can you put it down just as like a mulch, like as a top dressing?
Yeah, or? You can. So you can just put it down on the top, and I do that as well between my rows of vegetables.
Does it work pretty well as a weed suppressor?
It does.
And stuff, then,
yep, it suppresses the weeds.
Because it seems like it would just form a mat, right?
It does. And you can even, like, sort of, if you really wanted to get fancy, sort of even, agitate it so it became more of a felted mat that you put down, and that too would just compost away, as would your wool sweater that you knitted and you put it in the ground. But you wouldn't have to do that for years and years because wool is so long-lived and long-lasting. But wool does compost. Now, if you cover it up with soil and keep it wet and like you would with other compost, that's where it will just compost faster and biodegrade. There's different types of wool. So the fibers on the animals all just vary a little bit. So I mentioned that my sheep are more fine fleece, and that means that they're just softer, less scratchy, itchy. And for some reason, I don't really know why, but fine fleece will compost faster compared to like a long wool or a scratchier or a different type of wool sheep. That's going to just compost slower. So if you were to just lay down any old type of wool on your garden, you would have to think about, am I going to have to pull this up before I till it? If you're tilling your garden,
Well, yeah, because if it were to bind together,
it could be miserable.
Right?
It could be miserable with a tiller. So now they're making wool pellets, and they're starting to be present in garden shops. And so when people head out to their garden shop in the spring, no doubt they're going to start to see little packets of wool pellets. So what a pelletizer does is it takes a fleece of you know, from the sheep. Especially if it's a meat sheep and it's not really a wool sheep, where you're really wanting to process this into some type of yarn, you know, where it's more of where it could be like considered a waste wool, or even parts of my sheep that are icky and aren't going to be good for yarn would be good for the pelletizer as well. So it goes through this pelletizing system where basically it kind of just super dehydrates it, and in goes a fleece and out comes little pellets, and those will compost quite well.
So it's a new, and in that case, it's a fertilizer pellet. It's not being used as, say, like a mulch or anything. It's more of a fertilizer, like a top dressing or a slow release.
It could be used for all of that. It can be used, like we were saying, weed suppressant. This would be sort of the same thing, or to detract slugs, something that wouldn't want to walk across prickly wool, or dehydrate from it. It also can be a moisture regulator. So wool will absorb moisture and it will release it. So if there's excess moisture in the soil or from rain, it will absorb that and then it will release it. It's not going to pull moisture out of the soil because it's also sort of a repellent to water. If you know from your wool sweater or your wool scarf or hat, you don't get wet until it's really wet outside or till it's really pouring. So it has that aspect too. It's kind of amazing.
Fascinating. And I mean, people have been raising sheep forever. And so now that people are like utilizing.
Yeah. It's kind of a rival. The wool pellets is a rival to, the peat. And some places like in Canada are able to be doing like a renewable peat source, but lots of peat comes from that age old, like where things have been biodegrading for just ages and ages, like in Scotland, and it's become, you know, like a peat, and where, and so that's been often used as a potting soil. Or
well, and again,
or
we're
mixture.
Excavating that out of the ground. And eventually, yeah. I mean, yes, those peat areas are, I mean, they go a long, long ways. But
it takes forever.
Well, to create it,
to
right.
Create
that's
it.
Just
yeah.
it. So then if we're taking that yeah. out.
So this kind of works in that same aspect. So that's a fun thing that's come back around, because the wool market in America especially has really lost its grip. They're just, like so many things, it's been better to export the wool to sort of cheaper labor markets or labor places in China or India. That doesn't make it good for the laborers, because we have the higher standards and all of that, as well as just the environmental standards that have to be met. So we've lost some of our infrastructure for handling wool. And so this now is one way to utilize that excess wool. And like I mentioned, you know, there's just a lot of research going on as far as like, well, how else do we use wool? Because you had said this is a renewable source, an easily renewable source. And not only that, but like sheep being out on the land, out on the pasture, they're also helping to renew the health of soil as well, because they're out there, they're grazing. And if you don't let them just overgraze in a section, but you rotate them between each of their little paddocks and they keep eating.
And they're fertilizing as they go.
They do. So, you know, I never have to, well, I should never say never, but really I don't have to fertilize my pastures, because, of course, they're just doing the job for me. And they're not just focused in one area. I keep moving them along.
Right.
And that helps with the plant's roots going down, which is a carbon sequester. As well as the health of the soil. Like if you dig up a pasture soil where sheep or other animals have been rotationally grazing through, and you look at that soil and sort of analyze like what kind of microbes, what kind of insects are in there, it's going to be living soil.
Which is what we want, which is what we've gone wrong with our traditional farming. We're killing the soil instead of encouraging a living.
And sheep can do that. Small ruminants can do that. And cattle can too. Well, it really depends on a number of factors. One being like what does that pasture look like? How many animals are out on it? Ideally, you want them moving 1 to 3 days so that you're making your paddocks small enough so that no matter what your number of animals are, they're moving through that fairly rapidly. So that they're not there too long, just long enough to sort of munch down the tops of the grasses and not get down too far to the ground. So day one, they go out onto lush pasture, they poop, and they keep eating. Day two, what they've pooped out, some of their parasites start to come out and start to hatch and start to attach themselves and going up the grass. Day three, they can still be out there eating so long as the grass is high enough. But again, you know, there's many factors, but if you move them before those parasites get too high up on the grass, the sheep aren't re-ingesting their parasites. So it's a good way to help control on the parasite issue as well. One rule that I learned and that I look for out on my pasture is the rule of thirds. Now, other people might have different types of rules, but one third eaten, one third not eaten, and one third trampled. And the trampling is also good for the aspect that it's covering some of the pasture too. Again, that's just sort of a moisture and root thing. So, and then you move them on. I also move my sheep into the woods to eat all that nasty buckthorn.
Isn't that great? Yes, because, and wow, that is hard to control.
It's hard to control, and it's like candy to them. They just go out there and they just eat it away like it's just like you let them loose in a candy store.
Can I borrow a sheep for a day or two?
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
Then I worried like, oh, my gosh, am I feeding my sheep candy? Like, you know, I am a nutritionist. So I had to analyze the buckthorn leaves. And as it turned out, they were high in protein, a very good source of nutrition. So then I felt even better about, and then you just feel so good to see your woods returning to that you can actually see your woods.
Right.
Which is so good for those mature trees too, so that the buckthorn isn't just, you know, drinking away all the water and their roots are having to go, the mature trees having to have shallow roots.
And again, they're fertilizing while they're out there.
And there they are. They never stop fertilizing.
This is fascinating. Okay, so you mentioned, carbon sequestration, like what
does that mean?
Can you explain that
a little bit?
Just
hope
basic.
There's no scientists listening. If there are, you're going to get a call or two.
Well, they can be the next guest and explain this. We can have a whole topic on carbon sequestration.
So
if you're out there, reach out.
Yep, and they can come tell us what we should know. We are using a lot of carbon out of our soil for like fossil fuel type things.
Right.
So we're losing a lot of our carbon as well as, well, I guess, see, this is where I'm not the scientist. I don't know how exactly we're losing all that carbon. I know fossil fuel is one way. The wildfires that have been out of control, you know, is not helping either.
Well, it just takes so long to be created because carbon's created by all this breaking down of plant material that's been here for a million years, but we're not
good.
We're
going
to use it before we get to another million years. We're not going to make it.
Yeah. So with this type of grazing, you're allowing plants, as we know, plants, trees, they gather carbon, the carbon dioxide from the air, and utilize it for growth, but also as in their roots. And so then they're putting carbon back in to the soil. So with rotational grazing, the idea is if I just let my sheep go out there and say, graze away, they're going to eat what they like best. And so pretty soon you have lots of things growing up that you don't really want out there. And the things that they really like, they're just going to keep eating down. But if you say, nope, you have to keep moving along, then all plants are going to have a higher height to them, which if you think of how tall is a plant, that is a good indicator as to how deep are their roots. And so you don't want things munched down to the bottom. You want that sort of equalized. And so that is a good way for helping to put carbon back into the soil.
Let me tell you how that really goes.
Well, let's hope so.
That sounds great. And we can look into it further. So, all right. So soil health, definitely a huge thing. And I'm kind of way backtracking, but when you were talking about like top dressing, I was thinking of it as like a wheat berry would be amazing. Like I have a friend who does felting, and you just like when you said you agitate the wool, because it does, it just binds, it locks together. Like you could make some really serious weed barrier with it, and then it's adding nutrients. And when you were talking about the moisture control factor, it's just phenomenal. It's fascinating. I love it. And then, okay, so the wool is regenerative. Now you also, so your farm is Curly Acres, and you offer yarn and fiber and natural color wool and fine fleece, but you also have meat available, lamb meat from your...
We do. Even though my main focus is on the wool, you can't keep having lambs forever or you end up with way too many sheep. And so then you do need to process them. And that's just part of the business unless you decide that, you know, you're going to send your ram in. And not have lambs. So, and lambs are just too much fun.
Oh, so I'm still in the lamb phase.
So
well, and as a nutritionist, though, like, what are some of the benefits of sheep meat and then the way that you're raising your animals in this rotation? And
one thing about sheep is that they really aren't going to do well in a feedlot. You know, unfortunately, we know there's feedlots for cattle, especially, you know, in the southern part of the states. But for sheep, they really thrive by grazing. And so sheep, because they're grass-fed and like a lot of animals, and then also because my sheep are a heritage breed, Shetland, they are a lower fat sheep as well. They keep their fat more, instead of in their muscle, more on their carcass for insulation. So they're a lean meat. Their fat source is very high in omega-3. And I think people have often heard like, oh, the omega-3s and salmon is a really good source. Sheep actually rival salmon. So probably salmon is your best omega-3 source in meat. And sheep would be right behind that, especially grazed and then especially rotationally grazed where they're just getting lots of this fresh grass. So, very healthy that way. Sheep also, I think I wrote on my note here, very good in vitamin A, very good in vitamin E. So it's a good source of meat.
And a high protein as well then?
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, so low fat, high protein, has extra good vitamins in it too. And it's tasty.
Yeah, and it's tasty. Do we have just enough time for me to give a plug on the Three Rivers Fiber Shed?
Absolutely, please.
So the Fiber Shed is something that started as a nonprofit organization way back in 2010, which to me doesn't seem like it's way back, but it's been around for a while. And since that time, now there have become 45 affiliates, as far as I know, maybe more right now, that nationwide and internationally. A fiber shed, if you kind of think about local foods or maybe like a watershed, it's a way of thinking about your textiles locally and how they impact the earth. And so the fiber shed is all about promoting natural fibers. Much of what we have around here are animal fibers, but also plant fibers such as hemp or flax or linen. So really rethinking our textiles and how much, it's kind of the opposite of fast fashion. You know, how many clothes do we need and where are they coming from and how long are they going to hang around? Like I said, wool will compost, and eventually you could compost your wool garments as well. It's not going to leave, you know, those mounds of clothing, of that waste clothing. So,
well, and our clothes, like so many things are made with plastic. Even our clothes is made out of plastic.
Yeah, we're just walking around in plastic for the majority of our clothing. So our fiber shed, our local fiber shed is called the Three Rivers Fiber Shed. It extends 175 miles out from Minneapolis. And so that includes much of western Wisconsin, much of Minnesota, and even a little bit of Iowa. And we do a variety of educational things and some events. And so if you've not heard of Three Rivers Fiber Shed, it's something to plug into and to just be aware of. If you have interest in supporting local fiber or wanting to craft or do things with local fiber, you can also join the newsletter, which you won't get inundated. It probably goes out like 3 times a year. Probably should go out more often, but you know, everybody, it's volunteer run, so everybody's super busy. Great organization.
And speaking of looking up information, so Curlee Acres is Curlee Acres. And it's on Andrea Seifert is the guest. So here's an email address, curleeacres@gmail.com. You can look up a website, curleeacres.com. And then curlee_acres on Instagram and Curlee. And so if you want to learn more about this or are interested in any meat or fiber or just anything that you heard today and you have more questions, or you can look at that. Let's see, we have a little bit of time left. What else do we want to talk about? Like, so I'm curious, okay, so for insulation, I could see where the wool would make sense, but if it composts, then how is that not going to break down over time used as an insulation? Is that a concern or are they?
Well, you know, I am betting that, well, when you think about insulation, just for instance, in your house, you're trying to keep it away from any moisture or wet.
Sure. So if it's not a lot of air and not a lot of, then it's not.
No, it would mainly be the moisture that has to break it down.
Okay.
Air wouldn't affect it.
So if it stays dry, it's going to hold.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know, like on actual, like if you went out to buy wool as an insulator, maybe they've configured it in a way that it would be less apt to break down.
Sure.
But, you know, we also, maybe it gets, I don't know, I shouldn't be, you know, making things up.
Well, we hypothetical theory here. We can, have a hypothesis.
You'll get another guest from this. But maybe it's mildly felted in a sense, not to eliminate the air pockets, but just to hang together well.
My friend who does the felting, it's amazing. She makes the most beautiful, she likes to do little birds especially.
Lovely.
And they're just, they turn out so good. And it's probably therapeutic. You're just kind of repeatedly stabbing
someone. Oh, she sounds really talented. I know there's many talented people that live in this area too. So she's...
Well, she is. She's from Amory. So yeah.
Oh, yep.
Shout out, Natalie.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of my many listeners. Well, what do we have, Bob? Like a minute. Oh, okay. Well, thanks again to Baker Orchard for supporting Plant Rant. Appreciate that. Fall Art Festival, September 28th and 29th, and then the Minnesota Fiber Festival in Cambridge, Minnesota, October 19th. And that's such a nice drive. Just head up 95, and it's not a bad way. Well, Andrea, thank you so much. If anyone wants to hear anything again or missed anything, just remember there are archives at WPCARadio.org. And actually, I recently discovered you can just type in Plant Rant and our website pops up. I was pretty excited about that. And then you can go to the archives. So you can always listen. And Luann usually has the new ones up by Monday. So, all right. I think so. Thanks. Enjoy the fall, everyone. The weather's been so amazing.